name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today, I think this is the second sermon that we're having in Kostroma, in English.
Oh, yeah?
Oh. Yes. In today's Gospel reading, we hear how the Lord, after preaching a long time to the people, finally comes already the evening, and the apostles are worried about that the people had to be let go to go to their homes, and that they might become too weak because they haven't eaten already for about 3 days while the preaching was going on, and they were in the middle of nowhere, as we would say in America. And so the Lord says, well, why don't you feed them? And the apostle said, but we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, and there's no way we can feed that multitude of people. And they were actually there, 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. So you can imagine, with women and children, and since those days the children wasn't just 1 to a family, a maximum 2 or maximum 3. At that time there could have been 8, 9, 10 and more children. So you can imagine the people that were there, 5,000 men, or men, and that much, at least the women, the mothers, that's already 10,000, and probably another 20,000 or more with children. So all these, this multitude, the Lord wanted the apostles to feed. And of course, they were flabbergasted. There's no way they could have done it. But the Lord says, make them sit down in rows of 50s, so it'll be easier to serve them. And so he takes the bread, the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and blesses it, and after blessing it, breaks it and gives it to the disciples. And the disciples take it and start giving it out to all the people. And when they've all finished eating, and not only just having a little tiny snack, but they actually, it says in the Gospel today, that they were filled. They ate so much that the Lord says, well, now collect the excess, what's left over, so they will not go to waste. And so the disciples collected 12 baskets full of leftover of the food that was there. So the Lord showed that there is no reason for us to ever worry about what we shall eat tomorrow, or what even we should eat today, before the Lord will take care of it. First of all, he says to us, look for the kingdom of heaven first, and everything else will be given to you. He didn't say that you have to look for the kingdom of heaven first, and the truth of it, and that then you have to work also to make sure you get something to eat. Well, the working part of it, all the disciples and all the saints had always done so, because they felt that they shouldn't be living in this world without working. But what is work? Work has a very wide meaning. The work for the monks in the deserts, and the work was hard work, was prayer. Prayer from the heart. It wasn't work. It wasn't the work just on the surface, the lip service. It was a real hard work until the sweat comes out, because they were filled with so much eagerness to reach the Lord. And they were crying out with all the might that they could. And it took lots of energy to be able to pray like that, because they tried to follow an example of the Lord as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. As he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, out of his pores came out sweat and blood. It says so in the scripture. Such a terrible intensity that he had, so much he exerted himself in the prayer. And we are very, very far away from real prayer like that. But we have to try. That's what the church tells us. We have to try to pray. We have to try to pray as we also, living in this earth, we have to try again. We have to put the effort behind it to study this scripture. We cannot be saved, says the St. John Chrysostom, unless we study the scriptures. Well, why? Why is it important for us to study the scripture? The study of the scripture makes us love the Lord more and more, makes us to know about him, makes us to learn to fear him in a good way, so that we don't want to offend him, we don't want to commit sins, so that he will not have to suffer for those sins. This is why we need to learn from the scripture every day. We feed ourselves with all kinds of information every day, especially those who have these radios or televisions or computer internets. We're feeding all kinds of thoughts into our heart. But we, if we truly want to be able to learn to pray fully, we have to know that we have to make our heart clean. And it cannot be clean unless we keep away all the dirt and all the junk out of it, all the mundane things out of it. And our heart will become clean when it is filled with the Word of God, when it's filled with the grace of God. Then we can feel God's presence, then we can pray, and then we will see the great benefit from the prayer. And we will finally be able to do what the saints have done. They just couldn't see how is it possible to spend any time without prayer. They would be in the prayer all the time, and then they will be free from irritation, that means from the attacks of the enemy. Remember that St. John of Korosta says that any time that you're irritated, you can be sure the demons are surrounding you. They're ready to pounce right into your heart. And so you have to guard yourself, says St. John of Korosta. Don't allow them to come into the heart. Once you have anger coming, fits of anger, well, you know that then the enemy is already in the heart. And if we look at each other, and if we ever be able to glance in the mirror at a time of anger in our heart, we'll see how our face changes. It becomes totally distorted. It's scary even how we change when we have anger. So keep yourself from the enemy's presence. Don't allow him to come into your heart. Allow and try to clean the heart and strive for it, work for it, so that you have a clean heart, so that God's presence will be there all the time, and you'll feel his presence, and you'll be able to have joy. As St. Paul writes to us and says that we must have joy. And of course, beware that you are going to somehow forget that the church is actually, the head of the church is actually Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of the church that he has built. And don't give that honor to anybody else and saying that they're the head of the church. And nowadays we're going through such a terrible times. We have so many people that continue that shout throughout all the world that they're the head of the church, or that their bishops are the head of the church. But what did St. Paul said in today's epistles reading? We hear that he was appalled that at that time people were saying, I'm Paul's, or I'm this one and that one. And he says, well, I only baptized very few, and I'm very glad that I didn't baptize many. And I only come out and preach. And he doesn't want us to feel that way. We all must have deep inside our heart the knowledge that the head of the church is no patriarch, no pope, but it is Christ himself. Christ is the head of our church. But we must adhere for the purpose of organization in this world. We must adhere to a hierarchy. This is also very beneficial to our growth, spiritual growth, because obedience is the shortest way to humility. And without humility, there is no way that we can ever receive the grace of God, because God resists the proud. So remember that, my beloved. We try to remember that and strive to get that humility. And humility is not, you cannot get it without sorrows, without accepting the crosses that God sends you. And one of the biggest problems I think we have is that we don't thank God for everything that he sends us, whether it's a sickness, whether it's a bad situation in the worldly life, it doesn't matter. Anything negative that's being sent is still sent by God, because he wants to teach us the humility, because we have to humble ourselves to be able to receive the greatest gift that can be bestowed upon the man. And this is the grace of God. For through grace of God, we are going to be able to be saved. The Lord saves us. Today's day is also of the going into the heavens of the mother of the Mother of God, Anna. And today for her it was the greatest joy that she was able to finally be free from all the sorrows and sighings and the sicknesses that she may have endured, and all the things that she endured before she was able to have a child, because for many, many years she was not able to have a child. She was has become a mother when she was old, when after she went through lots of harassment from the people, because those who were out the children, those who were bare, the mothers, they were looked frowned upon by the other people and on her husband. So she went through lots of sorrows. And of course, seeing the sorrows of the Mother of God when all those things, as all the saints, they had full of sorrows. Yet God saved them from all of it so that they will not get them down. That's the main thing. Do not allow any sorrows to get you down so that you become depressed. And once you become depressed, then of course you become a prey to the enemy, and you cannot then survive. So watch out for that. Don't let any sorrow, any trouble ever get you down. But remember that any sorrow that God sends, it is for your own good, for your own benefit, for the eternal benefit. Don't look for how you're going to be able to survive. God takes care of you. God is God of love, and he wants us also to, of course, to learn to love him in return. But not only him, he also gives us a commandment to love each other. So do not allow the enemy to stand between you and your close ones, or between you or anybody else. And so that eventually, growing in love, we'll be able to be free from all fears. St. John, the Apostle of Love, says, once you have love, you will have no fear. And this is a wonderful thing, because starting from childhood, we are plagued by fears, and some less and some more. But if we have love in our heart, the fear is all gone, and then we have rejoicement. May the Mother of God's Mother Anna, the righteous that is rejoicing now with her own daughter, the Mother of God, and with all the heavenly dwellers, remember us in her prayer, and pray that we'll be able to come and join everybody in the kingdom of heaven. Amen.